We're going to talk today about the power of having a pastor. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, we just come before you and we thank you for this time. And we thank you for every single person here. We thank you for the Academy of Righteousness graduates today, Father. We thank you for people who aren't yet graduates, but we know that they're in line, Father. And we thank you for every single person. Maybe they're here for the first time, but we ask for just a release of your presence, a release of the spirit of wisdom and revelation and a greater knowledge of Jesus. That's what we're here for, Father. And we're here to look to you, Father God, and we're here to hear from you. And I thank you, Father, that every single person will hear not just my voice, but your voice within my voice, your voice within the words of the scripture today. Give me the utterance to speak exactly what you would have spoken to your awesome people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. It's a privilege and honor to speak today. So thank you, Pastor Drew, Pastor Tamara, for... I don't want to say inviting me. I'm not a guest speaker. This is my family, amen? But it's a privilege just to share. I love teaching the kids on Sunday morning, so it'll be a nice reunion next week. I want to get right into it. Point number one is we are like sheep. There you go. I expected that. Everyone say, bah. All right, so we are like sheep, and I don't just say that. And I didn't say we are sheep, and God didn't say we are sheep. We are like sheep, all right? He doesn't demean us at anything God does, so I don't want to be offensive, but this is what God says. So let's go to our first verse in Psalms. You guys don't have the order. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep, everyone say, bah, we have gone astray. And it says all, right? So there's none of us who can say we're above that. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, that's Jesus, this is the redemption chapter, Isaiah 53. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Amen. There's another verse. It's actually two verses in Proverbs. You guys can put up Proverbs 14:12. It's also in 16:25. And it says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. That is, I believe, throughout mankind, ever since the fall, that has been a picture of man's reasoning and mankind. But I would say more today maybe than ever before. We can definitely look around and say, wow, there are so many people out there that are saying it, tweeting it, Facebooking it, writing it and, you know, telling their friends, this is the way to go. But praise God, God has given us a way to, even though we're sheep, to follow the right path. Amen? Amen. And we're going to talk about that from some biblical examples, but we're going to talk about that for a little bit from practical examples as well, how we can make a practical application of that. So some characteristics of sheep. I won't spend long on this because, you know, but it's important to know this, right? Some sheep, and you guys can't see it, but it has a picture of sheep, so we don't look like that, thank God. But anyway, sheep were not made to carry burdens. There are donkeys, mules, whatever, there's certain animals that you can put a pack on them. You can't put a pack on a sheep. So that's why that's why if we're carrying burdens and the world we live in, it's so easy to carry burdens. It's so easy, especially this time of year. This is the most joyful time of the year, time for family, time to celebrate the Lord, his birth, and, you know, Thanksgiving and all that stuff, right? And so, but don't raise your hand. I'll raise my hand for all of us that we can get burdened down. The loss of a loved one, that we remember this time of year and spending time with them, the getting all these gifts, traveling from store to store throughout corporate America, you know what I mean, trying to find the perfect gift so that we can relax and be with family. And so we're not meant to carry those burdens, but because God compares us to sheep. I think it's important for us to know why he called us to be, he says we're like sheep. And sheep are not able to defend themselves. So we don't defend ourselves without, he's supposed to be our defense. You guys, there's a verse for every one of these, and we're not going to get into that, but I just want to give a little picture of sheep. Sheep can't find their own way. I remember this story when I was a kid. My family and I, we used to go camping a lot. And we had a motorhome. We had a tent trailer, then a motorhome. And then when we were at our motorhome, using our motorhome once, we went up the coast to Big Sur. Anybody ever been up to Big Sur up the coast? It's a cool place because you can, it's like the beach and it's also camping. Anyway, we're up there. And it's our first time up there, and it's nighttime, and we had walked somewhere, and I don't know all the details. I was a little kid. I was only like, 8 years old and 6'4". No, I'm just kidding. And so we're walking back. It's my mom, my dad, my sister's older than me, by 3 years, and our dog named Teddy, Golden Retriever, coolest dog ever. And so we're walking. It's pitch black. And you guys know camping places, these places when it ain't the city here. There's no light. If there's no light, there's no light, right? And so we're walking, and we're lost. We can't find the campsite back. And so, of course, I'm looking to my dad, and my dad's looking to my mom, and my mom's looking to my sister, and she's looking at the dog, and we're just like, what the heck? And then all of a sudden, this lady, and I think there was maybe a man with her, but she kind of says, hey, you guys lost? I can help you find the way, even though she had no idea where we were going, I guess. But my parents were just totally, totally desperate. I think I didn't realize it at the time because I was a kid, but she had had, she was a little inebriated. So that wasn't helping the situation. She was not in her sober state of mind. But again, we were desperate. So we followed this woman in pitch black to try to get back to our campsite, walking all around. And I could tell my dad was like, what are we doing? And we're all looking at him like, hey, you're the dad. What are you doing? Come on, man. And so we're walked around and past this tree, past that rock. And maybe 15 minutes later, and we had traveled a lot, and we ended up in the same exact place that we started at. I remember that story. I remember that, and because those types of things have an impression on you when you're a kid. So we ended up finding our way, as you can tell. But sheep can get lost. They need constant guidance. Amen? Sheep are content with whatever satisfies. I was going to read this part. When sheep are thirsty, they will stop at a puddle, even when clean, still waters are nearby. Sheep are content with filth so long as it satisfies. A good shepherd always knows what's better and best, but not sheep. Sheep will take whatever they can get. So that one stood out to me because I know I'm like you guys. We think we're satisfied, but only the Lord and his ways truly satisfy us. Amen? I can tell a story there. I guess I'll tell you a story. Just don't make fun of me because I'm making fun of myself. On my way home, I used to walk home from school or ride my bike, but I'd get home and oh my gosh, I don't know how I discovered this. I probably need counseling, but I was so thirsty one day that I started sucking on the sprinklers, and I found a sprinkler that gave water. Okay, Pastor, you might need to clean this up because I think some people are going to leave the church. Over this one, and I found a sprinkler. And I remember after that, I made a home. You know what I mean? I was parched, but I made a home. And then I remember the next day, I'm walking by that, and I'm like, wow, there's some water if I want some water. As I'm walking home, I'm looking at the sprinkler. And so, praise God, I didn't need to do that very, very often after that. But praise God. Amen. And bottom line, sheep need a shepherd. So let's go to point number two. Point number two is Jesus. Come on, somebody. Amen. Jesus is our shepherd, our good shepherd. Everyone say good shepherd. So we need to remember that we're sheep, but praise God, we are not sheep without guidance and without a shepherd. So sheep are an animal that need constant supervision. And there's basically a shepherd. Like we know that David was a shepherd, and he spent so much time with his sheep. It's a constant job, because you never know when one's going to slip away, and they are known to they'll walk towards something, even if it means they're going to die, and especially if another one might say, oh, wow, that looks like a good idea. You're going over there, and then they'll just follow them, and they might walk off a cliff. And again, I don't believe God's using that example to be demeaning to us, because he loves us. We're his kids. We're his image, express image in this earth, amen? We're made in the image of God, and yet we need to remember and learn from what God's saying. So Jesus is our good shepherd. So I'd like to go to John 10. Come on. John 10, verse 7. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Come on. There might be a lot of places that sheep can go. As sheep, that's what I'm saying. There's a way that seems right to man. There's millions of ways out there. And they think I found it in New Age, or I found it here and there. And there is a door that leads to life everlasting. Amen? There is a door that leads to a path that is life everlasting. And it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen? Am I talking to the right people? Have you guys found that door? Jesus is that door. Jesus, the good shepherd, is that door. Most surely I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Next verse. And all whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And will go in and out and find pasture. That is a sustenance. That's everything we truly need. That marketing and the things of the world will try to tell us that this is what you need. But he has the pasture for us. Amen. Verse 10. Come on, look at this. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. You know a tree by its fruit. So if it's something, if it's causing us to be stolen, our joy stolen, something in our life that God had put in there and it's being killed, it's being destroyed, then we know that it's the thief. And that could be anything. And it's important for us as Christians as disciples to realize that and to be constantly evaluating and examining. And I'll get ahead of myself right now, but the role of the pastor, and when I say pastor, I'm talking about Pastor Drew and Tamara. That their role is to help us know if it's a thief. That's a big difference. Steal, kill, destroy, life, and life more abundantly. Could you have any more of a difference than your life? Could there be more of a disparity between, okay, today I'm going to wake up and I'm either going to be stolen from, killed, and destroyed, or I'm going to have life, and not just life like I've ever had it, life on a whole nother level, a whole nother plane, abundant life. Come on, somebody. Amen? That's a big choice. So we wake up every day, because life is about choices, and we wake up every day, and we're making choices. All of us, we wake up. And so the power of church, which Pastor Drew talked about a few weeks ago, the power of church is to come together and make sure we're on the right path. Amen? Right path. Hallelujah. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. Why is he good? Because he only wants what's best for us. It doesn't mean it's what's easiest on us. It doesn't mean that there's something that, you know what I mean, that needs to be chopped away, or if there's something that, you know, I mean, if a wolf is coming after the sheep and a shepherd jumps on that sheep for protection, that might not feel good to the sheep, but it feels a lot better than being eaten by the wolf. Amen? The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And so there are a lot of things out there that want to be our shepherds too. A lot of people, a lot of things. A lot of people will come. You know, understand when they said in the last days that many will come in my name, Jesus told them. It doesn't mean they're going to stand up and say, I'm coming in the name of Jesus. I'm your Messiah. No, there are things that are promising what a shepherd promises, but they don't really care for us. They don't really love us. And praise God, we're not left as orphans. We know we have the Holy Spirit who can tell us, show us what's in line, what the good shepherd wants us to have, and what the thief is trying to, you know. He's like that story, you know what I mean? What happened? The wolf put on grandma's clothes? Oh, come on. Man, I wish I remembered that one right now, but I tell you what, wow, what big ears you have, Grandma. What big giant claws you have, Grandma. Did you haven't had a pedicure in a while or what? And so what's the point that wolf is disguising itself as something that it's not, and for the purpose of, do it, like that verse 10, and not here to give life and life more abundantly, but to take the life of Little Red Riding Hood. Come on. Verse 12, but a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. Guys, be careful of people a lot of times church is a breeding ground for this. People that say they're going to take care of you, the pastor don't know, I know, I love you more. Uh-oh. They're a hireling. Because I tell you what, they don't really care for you. They didn't lay down their life like Jesus did. And we're going to talk about our pastors because you guys see where we're going, that our pastors are under shepherds, under the good shepherd. And so it's so important. Again, you know a tree by its fruit. If somebody's willing to stay somewhere, serve somewhere like this church when they could be other places doing other things, it's so important for us to recognize, see the heart behind that, see the motivation behind that, see the love behind that. Something else can be flashy. Something else can seem more extravagant, seem like it's has more for me at the moment, and yet it doesn't really care for us. Next verse, please. Yeah, there it is. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. That's why I love, I'm very happy, I guess proud to be at this church. Because it's a healthy church. It's a spiritually healthy church in a lot of ways. One of the ways is we're not perfect, and we don't say perfect things to each other because, you know, we try. We're striving for it. We deal with stuff when it does come up, but I'll just declare we are a gossip-free zone. Amen? Come on. We do not sow discord among the brethren. So if somebody's sowing discord against your spiritual leaders, what would they be classified as? A hireling, the thief. Now, don't be telling them, hey, you're the devil, you know, but, you know, still, like, our pastors teach us well that if somebody is saying something about the pastors, then say, hey, you know what, I'm sure Pastor Drew would love to hear about that. I'm sure Pastor Tamara would love to hear about that. Let me call them right now, which is kind of, again, that accessibility, that our pastors are accessible, and they love us, amen? So that's the way to deal with that. That's the biblical, godly way to deal with it. I'm telling you as one of the leaders at this church that we want to hear and our pastors want to hear what's going on. If somebody, something that, you know, somebody said about them, they want to know so they can correct it. But you know, the reality is most of the time they're saying that because they don't think you'll be bold enough to do that, and they want to put something in your ear. The proverb says that I don't know if it says gossip, but basically gossip tastes like it's like a tasty truffle that goes into our innermost being. So it feels good, gossip, right? People go to gossip columns. They watch, you know, shows that just have letters on them, like TMZ or, you know, whatever. And they're just like letters, TMZ. I want to hear how somebody else's life is worse than mine so I can feel better about myself. Uh-oh. But the reality is, it's unhealthy because once it says it goes into the innermost part of our being. And that's not a good place for negative stuff. Amen? All right, let's move on. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd. This is Jesus talking. And I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. Look at that. Verse 14 again. Please, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep. Everyone say Jesus knows me. That's the important test. So we're going to go on to point number three. Point number three, and we'll get back to that. That's why I kind of skipped over it. But point number three, Jesus, our good shepherd, gave us the gift of our pastors. Ephesians 4:8 says, therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. And I love this because is there a greater gift than Jesus? He's the greatest gift of all. And then he gave us the Holy Spirit. And then the greatest gift of all, who gave us the Holy Spirit, he also gave us more gifts. He's like the gift that keeps on giving. Amen? He is a giver. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so verse 11, please. And this is continued with that thought, of course. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So it's really important, especially, but just all the time, to remember, this is what God says. If I'm following God, if I'm on, let's get back to that path. I'm a sheep that has a tendency. And if you don't think so, then you're probably proving your sheepness. If you don't think you have a propensity to get off track, then you're a stubborn sheep. And I've been there, so I'm not getting down on anybody. You know, thick skull, I know more than this. I can do it on my own. I'm strong without somebody's help. All these things, but we're still sheep, whether we believe it or not. And so we're going down this path that leads to eternal life. Who's the doorkeeper? Jesus, the good shepherd, amen? And so along the way, he knew he was going to be with the Father. He's still praying for us, interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. It's not like he's out of the game, but he gave us ministry gifts. He gave us our pastors. He's a teacher. Pastor Drew, Pastor Tamara, there are teachers. I believe there's a good possibility that should be one word connected. Pastors are supposed to be the ones. That's a good word. Pastors are supposed to be the primary teachers in our lives when it comes to, I know we can teach ourselves the Word of God, and we can, in other words, the influences that come at us in the world we live in. There's lots of different ways with social media and the technology of today. But our pastors, that's why we're supposed, when do we come to church? Tony wants to come every day, and I'll get to you, Tony. Tony's a good example. Tony would come to church every day. I would too, amen? Come on, somebody. It's a great place to be, right? We've both been in worse places. And what was I saying? Hallelujah. Our pastors need to have an incredible amount of teaching influence in our lives. Do you receive that? All right. Oh, Lord, I love this one. Jeremiah 3:15. Come on, somebody. Write that down. If you're taking notes, write that down. If you're not taking notes, write that down. Jeremiah 3:15, and I will give you shepherds. Shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. He's talking to backslidden Israel there. He says, I will give you shepherds according to my heart. And I'm here to tell you, and by the way, this is Pastor Drew is gracious as always. I asked him, what would you like me to share? And whatever's on your heart. So nobody asked me to share this. This is what God put on my heart. Amen. I just want to say that as somebody who's been here for over 14 years at this church, and like he said, has seen it in different phases and still believes that the best is yet to come. Amen. We're thankful for the day of small beginnings, of day of small things, but the best is yet to come. We understand the kingdom. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Man, you put something in the ground, and it takes a long time before you see anything. But once you see something, it's not long at all. As far as time comparison, it's a small amount of time once you see something before it really blows up. You know, there's a plant in Asia it takes 5 years. It doesn't do anything after they plant it. Water it. Plant water, 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 sun, da da da. And then in 6 months, it grows like 40 feet high. Boom, shakalaka. It just gets way up there. That's the kingdom. Exponential growth. And I will say this, Cicero, just because I don't want to forget. But the what I really feel, no, I'll say it later. Holy Spirit will remind me. Hallelujah. So Jesus gave us the gift of our pastors. Everyone say, our pastors are a gift. So check this out. Let's look at biblical examples of this. Number four. Oh, it just says biblical examples. Hallelujah. That ain't telling you much. Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Book of Colossians. What is Colossians? If a question is asked, raise your hand and wait to be called on. It's one of the kids' rules. Anybody? What is Colossians? What, Paulette? Oh, she said yes. She loves it. Isaac, what's Colossians? It's a city? Close, yeah. It's a letter from Paul to a church in Colossae. Now, let's think about this for a second in the context. What is it? The power of what? Having a pastor. Yeah, hearing your pastor, but having a pastor. Paul, he's an apostle, but you know what an apostle is? I love these people because God called me to love them, and I'm going to preach the gospel like he did in Ephesus in Acts 19. And he preached to them. Love that chapter because he laid hands on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. And yes, Audrey, and he prophesied over them. Or they prophesied. Anyway, and then that's in the coast of Ephesus. Colossae is 100 miles east of Ephesus. Paul stays in Ephesus in that area for a number of months. He's preaching the gospel. Well, I'm going back to apostle. He travels over here, tells the gospel. Oh my gosh, I got this person who loves God. He's loyal to me, Timothy or whoever. And he puts him as pastor. He's like, you're the pastor. All right, I'm coming over here. And he's like, "Ooh, I love these people too. Because I have what? Whose heart? Back in Jeremiah 3:15. I will give you. Can you throw up? There you go. Shepherds according to my heart. How many of you believe the Apostle Paul had God's heart? Come on. Self-sacrificial. He could have taken up all kinds of money from all the churches, but he made tents for a living. He was just faithful to the people. He told them whatever they needed to hear, not just what they wanted to hear. He was shipwrecked. Just look at his resume. He's a tremendous resume of self-sacrifice. He's an intense, amazing, awesome person. And he would go to this place and he'd preach the gospel and he'd get people saved and get them filled with the Spirit and get them cleaned up, and then he would appoint a pastor. And then he would go back to these places. And I didn't put these in my notes, but he would put himself, there's this awesome story in Acts. And if you want to know about what Paul did, a lot of it's in Acts, our Bible, Acts of the Apostles. And so he goes from, I think, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe. And I don't remember the exact order or whatever, but he goes from Iconium, then he goes to Lystra. The people in Iconium, he's so hated by, because the word of God either makes you mad or glad, right? So it's important. The word of God, and sometimes that's why we need to remind ourselves of the role of our pastors, because our flesh wants to get mad, but our spirit is glad, amen, when we hear the truth about God's word. Why? Let's go back. We're sheep, and we got to stay on the path that leads to life. We don't want the thief. Amen. Do you want the thief? And so the Paul is, he's got this, he's got, there's a man named Epaphras, and historians believe that more than likely, and when Paul was in Ephesus preaching the gospel and got people saved and Acts 19, then, hold on, let me go back to what I was saying, because I just remember what I was saying before. All right, he went from Iconium to Lystra to Derbe. The people from Iconium got so mad, they came and found him in the third city, Derbe, and they stoned him. Many people believe that that's the place where he says, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, you know, and he was maybe died. But all we know is the Bible says the disciples gathered around him, prayed for him, whether they rose him from the dead or whether they just healed him from a lot of stone, that hurts. Stoning is not fun. It's not like the Nerf guns, okay? I mean, this is for real. And they raised him back up, and he went and kept doing the same thing. Didn't sway him at all. He went back to the same city that the people that stoned him were from. I want to say Iconium, but read it. I think it's Acts 13. He went back to the same place, and this is why, to confirm the souls of the disciples. Another place in the Bible, it says that he went back to encourage the saints. He has the heart of God. He knows that sheep are sheep, and we're going to get off track if we don't have a pastor. He established pastors, but he's not even okay with them just being pastors. He's not micromanaging. He's just supervising. He's doing his job. God's job that God called him to do. He'd go over there, and he'd oversee them, and he'd encourage them. That's what Colossians is. It's a letter from a pastor's heart to a church in Colossae that I love this part of the story. Paul didn't even start the church at Colossae. In his ministry at Ephesus, he got probably, it doesn't say it in the Bible, but we know that Epaphras was, the church was held in his house, and we know that he was living in Ephesus. He was in Ephesus, and he got saved, and probably under Paul's ministry. Maybe one of his associates led him to the Lord. You get what I'm saying? That's the probably. It's a little bit of variation. But the bottom line is, under that ministry, he got saved, but he's from Colossae. So what does he do? He goes home to Colossae after he gets saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, and he's in Colossae. And what you gonna do when God just touched you? He just starts telling them all about what the Lord did, just like the man with the Gadarenes who had hundreds of demons in him, and he got that whole region saved. He just shared with them what happened, and from there, they started a church. He told Paul about it because he didn't start something out from underneath the ministry leader that got him saved. He was under authority, and he did it the right way. He says, I'm going to do God's work God's way. This is the person that God raised up to minister to me. He gave me the new salvation. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to tell him what I'm saying in Colossae. People are listening to me. They're getting saved. They're getting filled with the Spirit. It's amazing that I have this power too to do, because it's just truth. But anyway, Paul knew about the church. He sanctioned it. He was excited. And he wrote a letter to the Colossians. Now let's go to Colossians chapter 4. Whatever the verse is. No, I don't think so, right? Oh, 7? Maybe it's 7. Okay, Tychicus. You want to meet a member from the church in Colossae? Tychicus. Everyone say hi, Tychicus. A beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. He will tell you all the news about me. Keep it there, please. Was Tychicus faithful to Paul? Was he loyal? Did he show himself? Maybe like Pastor Drew was telling us in prayer this morning. Maybe he took out the trash at first. Whatever it was, he had the right heart, the right mind. He loved God. He's just glad to be saved. He's a sheep, and he's prone like the rest of us to get off, but he's following his pastor, following down the path. Verse 8, I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. Keep going, please. When Onesimus, and he's all in Philemon, a faithful and beloved brother who was one of you with him, they will make known to you all which are happening here. Verse 10. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. And he's a prisoner, but not for the wrong reasons. Amen. He's a prisoner. Paul was in Rome, his first Roman imprisonment, when he wrote Colossians, somewhere around 55, 56 AD. Okay? So he was in prison, but because of Jesus, you know. Again, another proof that he has God's heart and God's mind. The cousin of Barnabas, about whom you receive instruction, becomes to you, welcome him. Verse 11. And Jesus, who is called Justice, or maybe it's Jesus, like we have some Jesuses in our world today. These are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God. Now he says these kinds of things a lot. And I pray and prophesy over this church that Pastor Drew won't be able to just say this, that is my only fellow workers. If he says my only, he's going to say all 100 something of us. Amen. Right? So it has to do with, and he talks about Timothy being, later on in another book, he says, no one else is like-minded who cares about the things of God and the things of other people. Everyone else only cares about themselves. And so that's another thing about sheep. We don't want to be selfish like sheep. We want to be selfless like the nature of God that he's put inside of us. Amen? Verse 12, there's Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you. He's always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Prayer ministry is an awesome, important, valuable ministry. Please pray for your pastors, pray for your leaders. You should be including, and we should be praying for our pastors, and we all should be just making sure we're praying for those people who are in leadership over us, because there's a lot of demonic attacks. And we don't say that like, oh me, oh my, or we can't do it. No, we just say, please pray. Epaphras was one of those prayer warriors. Prayed for you fervently in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. By the way, that's a good prayer to pray over yourself. Pray that exact wording. I'll take that. I know you'll take it. Hey, at the end of that prayer, if I keep praying it, I'm going to be stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. I'll take that. Amen. Verse 13. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you and those who are in Laodicea and those in that place. Verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician, Luke is an awesome example. Luke stayed with Paul through all of it. He wrote Acts. That was John. He wrote Acts. Now check this out. Demas. Everyone say hi, Demas. Say hi, Luke. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greets you. I want you to notice that right now. These are people who are alive and well around 55 AD, 56 AD. They're doing good. They're serving God. They're serving Paul. Now let's go to 2 Timothy 4. I'm going to wrap it up. 2 Timothy 4, 9. Be diligent to come to me quickly. Verse 10. Now watch this. For Demas has forsaken me. Everyone say, oh. Having love, what happened? He loved this present world. Bah! He got off track. And it, guys, we got the nature of God in us. We got the life of God. We're saved. We have callings. We have purpose, like Pastor Drew was talking about. Every one of us has a propensity to get off track like Demas. I like to learn about the people of old that did amazing things. Like I went to Oral Roberts University, and Oral Roberts is, I got to meet him. I have a picture of sitting next to him. He'd come to basketball practice, and he sat next to me, and he talked to me, and I was like, I'm sitting next to Oral Roberts right now. But he's an amazing man of God. Pastor Phil said, you know, I'm not saying I agree with everything that he ever did or said, but I'm probably never going to criticize, but you know what, as soon as I get as many people saved and healed and filled with the Holy Spirit and on the right path as he did, then maybe we can say something, amen? So that's not my point, but my point is there's a lot, and he's not an example of what I'm about to say, but there's many people that were healing revivals during that time and many awesome people of God, and so many of them got off track. It's sad. I'd read about these people or watch a video or study them a little bit, and all of a sudden, toward the end of their lives, they get off track. And I'm thinking, what is going on? Demas got off track. What happened? I don't know, but I know that if he stayed connected to his pastor, because the pastor is a gift from the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, that there's a much greater chance he would not have gotten off track. Amen? So I just want to, I know time's up, but practical application. And that is, you guys are sad that you have to apply this to your lives? Oh, that it's going to end, okay. how many of you, Pastor Drew and Pastor Tamara, are your pastors? Yeah. Amen. Now, how many of you keep your hands up. Keep your hand up if you think for sure that they know that you're their pastors because you told them. Or you've had a conversation with them where you know that ain't nobody but my pastor is going to talk to me and you know, bring correction or, you know, bring love and encouragement or something like that. Yeah? All right. And so hands down, if anyone didn't raise their hand, if you're not confident, this is the deal. Because a lot of times in our society, there's this, you know, and you'll hear the word cult thrown out there. Yeah. Guys, I believe that's an attack of the enemy who's trying to separate us from true Christianity. True Christianity is when we're connected to God, connected to each other, and we're connected to each other under the godly supervision of pastors like our pastors, doing life together. I could tell you on one hand the number of pastors I've had in terms of senior pastors. Some of that has to do with I lived in Oklahoma. And then when I came out here, I went back to the same church I went out of. And then I came over here, and Pastor Drew talked to that pastor. And he said, hey, pastor, you understand you have Paul in your church, and he's showing interest. What do you think about him coming and helping us? And it was important to both of us that we got my old pastor's blessing for me to come out here. Because I had gone to that pastor and told him, hey, I really want to do more things. I'm out of Bible college. I want to serve God more. And he basically says, okay, there's not a lot we can do. We're really kind of, and so I didn't just ditch my old church, in other words. And so I believe it's so important, I'll say it this way, that Jesus, did you guys know that knowing Jesus is not the key to being saved and being with God forever? Jesus knowing me is the key for that. Go, John 10:14, just real quick. Can you put that verse up there? John 10:14. And Paul says it later. I think it's in 1 Corinthians 8:3, but do you guys have it? Oh, okay, there it is. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep. Do you think there could have been a sheep who's way out from the pasture and way far away, who says, oh yeah, I know that shepherd. I know that shepherd, but wait a minute. Does that shepherd know that sheep? Does that shepherd have access to the sheep? Can that shepherd speak into the sheep's life? Does the sheep ever ask the shepherd or the pastor for advice? And I'll tell you as I wrap up for the third time that this is that there are many people that I've seen, and again, they didn't ask me to say this, but I've seen it many times, people that just kind of tell the pastors, this is what can I have your advice? And then when they don't take the advice. I've seen lives destroyed, steal, kill, and destroy. I've seen lives destroyed numerous times, and it's never made us happy. This church would be needing a new sanctuary if those people, if the people that, they praise God, they came to the pastor in those situations, but if they took the advice, not to mention the people that never asked advice or never ran something by their shepherd, then we would be needing to make one giant building and no more grass, because we would need all the people that would be serving God together. And so I say that to us because maybe some of you, maybe you want to make sure that they know they're your pastors. Maybe you want to let them know, Pastor Drew, if you see something in my life that you want, you know, let me know. And again, understand, they're gracious. They're not going to tell you what color tie and slap you if you put the wrong color tie on one day. They're not here to control your lives. They let me wear this, so, that's proof right there. Amen. Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all the awesome things that we have going on today. And I pray that the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher, would allow there to be just incredible practical applications to each one of us, that we'd be healthier, that we'd be more of a solid group as Hope Community Church, that we'd recognize that this is our church family and the role that plays in our lives, and that you said in your word, Jesus, that they will know you are my disciples by the love you have one for another. And I pray that that becomes increasingly evident in this church, that people will be drawn to us. And you even said it to us, that we'd be like an oasis, that people around us are like dry and parched, and we have the living waters. We're allowing the living waters to flow because we're healthy and we're walking in the paths of God. And you love to pour out your kingdom, your righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for drawing many more people, because we do know, like Pastor said, we do know that there are many, many, many more people that we're called to join with and minister to and minister with to reach this area. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Pastor Drew, Pastor Tamara.
Thank you. It's interesting. Pastor Roy says, preach what you're walking in. And I asked Pastor Paul, what did you say to me last night? Because I said, hey, what are you teaching on tomorrow? What did you say to me? Because you didn't say this. What did you say? You said, oh, I thought you said the, okay, I heard the power. You know what? And I we had kind of what we call a popcorn night at our house last night. That's when lots of things happen and start popping up that no one anticipated. So, anywho, so we were in the kitchen cooking together, though. He was making his OSL dessert, and I was finishing dinner or something, I think. So I want to say a couple of things as I sat there listening to Pastor Paul, because I didn't know that this is what he was teaching today. But as he taught it, and I was listening to him, I thought about, man, he's preaching what he's walking in. Amen. And let me tell you know what? Let me tell you some things. He said, I was sitting there when you said, I was trying to think, wow, how long have we been together? I think Shayla was 6. This helps. I can say over 15 years, but that doesn't really register. But you know my children, you know, you see them. Think about this. Megan was 1. Tyler was 3, and Shayla was 6. Does that give you a better picture of what 15 years looks like? So, and when the way we came together was such a God thing, because I remember telling Pastor, we need help. You know what? We need help at the church. But we also knew that it was very important to have someone who was like-minded, you know what, that someone who is into the uncompromised word of God, someone who's a faith person, who doesn't see faith as a bad thing, but as a God thing, you know what, that knows that faith is in the Bible. So as we, and I said, you know what, I feel like the Spirit of God's just saying, you know, we need someone from Rhema. Rhema Bible College. So here's what I did. I went to the Rhema's website, and I saw that I could put in like a little ad there. So I put in a little ad. And this is another kind of tribute. Pastor Paul is the only person who answered that ad. Amen. The only person who answered that ad. But he answered that ad. And that's how we came together. And 15 years, let me tell you something. As I sat there thinking too, 15 years, you know what? There has been good times and bad times. We've hit bumps in the road together. There have been days that haven't been sunshine. There have been days that we've disagreed. There have been days that we've had bad days together. And you know why we're still together? Because no matter what happens, the very foundation that we both had in the beginning was this. We live our lives by the uncompromised word of God. Amen. That's how you have a good marriage. Yeah. That's how you have good relationships in the church. That's how you do it. Yeah. And if that's deviated from, then you don't get the richness of what we have. Come on. He was here. Let me tell you something about Pastor Paul. He's been a landscaper with me. He's been a contractor with me. He's done children's ministry. He's done youth ministry. He's taught discipleship classes. He has laid insulation with me up in the attic. We have come down barely able to breathe with mess all over us and just looked at each other and loved every moment of it because we understood, you know what, why we were doing it. Where the white cross is over there, where it's beautifully landscaped today with grass and flowers, that's not what it was like when we came. When we came, it was tons of rocks and weeds. And I remember the day Paul and I out there loading 5-gallon buckets with rocks, putting them in the back of his truck, driving them over to the trash can, and putting some in the trash and some on the side to go in the trash later on. But 5-gallon pails at a time, we hauled all those rocks out of there. There have been many occasions where people have come and tried to tell Paul who Pastor and I are. There have been many occasions that people have tried to tell him, you know what, things about us, about our ministry, that he should, leave, go do something better. The enemy comes to tear apart. Can you imagine? I want you to just think, if you've been blessed by the ministry of Pastor Paul here. Many of you are here because of Pastor Paul. He's evangelized with us. He is a big inviter. If you run across his path, he's going to tell you about his church. He's going to tell you about his God. Many of you are here because of him. But can you imagine if he would not have... There's been a lot of people like that. He talked about them, many of them gone. Because they do not do what the Word of God says to do. The Word of God anticipated the trouble that comes when more than one person is together. God's a pretty smart God, and he knows how we roll. But he's made sure that he gives us a path, a green path, that we can have a good life and rich life together with him. But we got to do it his way. And so much of everything he said to you, he walks in it. He walks in it. And isn't that the kind of pastor that you want? Not one that'll tell you what to do, but one that shows you by example what to do. Amen? Because we don't have a different standard. We all have the same Bible. And there are those who will tickle your ears. But God has given you a shepherd, you know what, that is if we're on the same page, i.e. the Word of God is our final authority, then nothing can divide us. Amen? Amen. Nothing can deceive us from that which God has for us. So what a blessing. Thank you, Pastor Paul.